Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Yeah. Hallelujah. It's your breath in our lungs. And so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, O Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Praise unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continuously. And then you jump down to verse 36, and it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Good evening, and welcome to the Light of Portland radio broadcast. I am your host for tonight, Pastor Kimberly Black. I bring you greetings from the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3605 Northeast Mallory, right here in the City of Roses. That is Portland, Oregon. What an honor it is to ride in your car, sit with you at the desk, hang out with you on the couch, relax with you in the bed tonight, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We give all glory and honor to God tonight for giving us this day. I don't know about you, but our worship experience today was on a high note. And I mean to tell you, we worshiped the Lord. We remembered all of his many benefits that he had bestowed upon us. And we worshiped him and we gave him glory and honor. And then the day didn't end. I was back in worship again. And it's been a high time in the Lord. And here I am now with all of you, my brothers and sisters, coming together to share another evening with the Light of Portland family. We just want to thank you for calling in tonight, being with us, being on the line. I've got a treat for you all. I got two treats for you all tonight. Two treats. So you need to call somebody, or no, don't call them because that means that you'd have to get off the phone. But text somebody and tell them to call into the Light of Portland broadcast, because in a few minutes, when I make the announcements, I've got a special treat for somebody on this call, and I want you to be blessed. Amen. I want you to be blessed. We want to give glory and honor, give praise and show love and respect to the people that have helped us with this ministry, to give us this platform, share this platform with us. None other than the Butterfields. We thank God for their ministry. We thank God for what God has blessed them to allow us to share this opportunity to be a part of the Blog Talk family. We thank God for Archbishop Ruth, and we thank God for Pastor Sherelle Pennington. We want to keep all of them lifted up in prayer. They are in Jamaica during the Holy Convocation, and I heard from Pastor Sherelle the other day, and can I tell you that they are having a hallelujah good time in the Lord. So we definitely want to pray for the Light of the World family, all those that are traveling, that are in Jamaica during this time for the Holy Convocation. Keep them all lifted up in prayer. It should be just about over, but pray that God will continue to strengthen them and bless them and keep them, and that he is pleased with what has been going on in Jamaica and in the body of Christ through the Light of World Ministries. Bishop Archbishop Ruth, we praise God for her, the woman of God, and we just thank God for what God is doing in the midst of the people of God. We just want to share with you tonight some announcements. We've got a lot that's going on in the city, and I hope and pray that you have been able to participate in some of these things that are happening in our city. I want to tell you that we are going to be blessed because we have the opportunity this night to bless somebody to go to one of the concerts I'm getting ready to announce about. Amen. So tell your family, tell your friends, get them on the phone because they don't want to miss these announcements that we're getting ready to make. But I do want to make the announcement about Black Nativity. It's a gospel song play which was written by Langston Hughes. It is happening at the Bethel AME Church. It started on November 29th and it'll end on December 15th. And tickets are $25. You can get them online by going to passingart.org, or you can go to JP Framing, which is located on MLK and Killingsworth, or you can buy tickets at the door. And we have three more showings, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday, the show will begin at 7:30, Sunday at 3 p.m. If you have not made it there thus far, you don't want to start your holiday season off without being in the house at Bethel AME Church. We've been having a high time in the Lord. Amen. And coming to us real soon, Zoyful Music presents Zoyful Christmas, featuring Alonzo Chatwick and Zoyful Music. Now, on next Sunday, Elder Alonzo Chatwick will be on Live Talk, Blog Talk Radio with the Light of Portland family, and he's going to be giving away some tickets to the broadcast. And so I have a trivia question. I'm going to read it in a few minutes and then give you some information how you can win you two tickets to Zoyful Christmas. This is going to be amazing. It's happening on December 21st at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Imago Dei East Side Campus. Imago Dei East Side Campus is located at 3130 Southeast 148th Avenue. This concert, oh my goodness, features Lamont Williams, Letitia McFarlane, Amber Soon, A.J. Kimbrell, Ronnie Wright, Michaela Dean, Elena Loren, Eli Hardy, Brandy Alberti, Saida Wright, Jahar McCoy, and many, many others. These tickets are $15. You can buy them at the door, but like I said, next Sunday you will have the opportunity to win two tickets. Amen. You will have the opportunity to win two tickets if you can answer the trivia question. I'm going to make the announcement and then I'll give you the trivia question. Gospel Christmas at the Arlene Snitzer Concert Hall begins Friday, December 13th through Sunday, December 15th. And you can get tickets at www.orsymphony.org. That's OregonSymphony.org. If you want to get tickets for the Gospel Christmas, you can go to www.orsymphony.org and purchase your tickets for Gospel Christmas. If you missed the sneak peek on yesterday, you missed a blessing. We were at Maranatha from 12 to 1. It was a free event. And I'm telling you, as the old folks would say, them children sang their hearts out. Amen. Our next announcement, the gift that heals. This is a free play which is sponsored by Allen Performing Arts, Inc. and the Emmanuel Performing Arts. This play will be held on Sunday, December 22nd at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Emmanuel Church. That address is 1033 North Sumner Street, Portland, Oregon, 97217. So if you don't have any plans for the weekend, can't say that there's nothing happening because there is stuff going on. Next weekend, Black Nativity, the Gospel Christmas, the weekend after that, Joyful Sounds and the Gift That Heals, and it brings us right into Christmas. So those are our announcements. If you didn't get those and you need more information, please email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. For more information regarding the announcements that I just made, you can email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. We are going to be blessed. Next Sunday, we will have Elder Chadwick on the line with us, and I'm trying to get Elder Ani on the line with us to talk about their play and the concert. And so Elder Alonzo is going to be giving out some tickets to the concert. And I have a trivia question. And this is what you need to do to win those tickets. When you get the answer, email me. The first two people that email me the correct answer, I will announce your name on the air next Sunday, and you will get two tickets to the Joyful Christmas featuring Alonzo Chadwick and Joyful Music. So get your pen and pencils out because I'm going to give you the trivia question. I want you to get ready. Our trivia question for two tickets, the first two people that email me, and I'm going to cut it off by, I'm going to cut it off by Tuesday. So you're going to have to email me by Tuesday midnight, before midnight Tuesday. If it comes on Wednesday morning, I'm not going to reply. You will not be the winner. Amen. As Oprah say, you get a car, you get a car. But if you email me Wednesday, you won't get tickets. Amen. So here is the trivia question. Whose doxology acknowledges that only God can turn the heart of the king? Okay. I'm going to repeat it again. Whose doxology acknowledges that only God can turn the heart of the king? If you know the answer, and when you find the answer, email me at GSSMBC before Tuesday midnight, and you will be a winner of two tickets to the Joyful Music Christmas concert. I'm going to get it right tonight, y'all. That Joyful messes me up. It's Joyful Music Presents Joyful Christmas. Two tickets. If you have the answer, email me, gssmbc@yahoo.com. And you have until midnight on Tuesday to get me the answer. Whose doxology acknowledges that only God can turn the heart of the king? Amen. Those are our announcements. And if you have any announcements, your church or your ministry, you're doing something and you want to tell the city of Portland what you're doing, I want you to email me at that GSS email, and we will gladly make the announcement to share with you what's happening here in the city. Amen. Amen. We have a special guest with us on tonight. Our guest speaker tonight, his name is Elder. Elder Jim Fike. Amen. He is from Roseburg, Oregon, and he comes from. We all seen the text message where he comes from. I'm trying to get this together. Operate the cell phone and operate everything all at one time, so y'all forgive me tonight. But Elder Fikes comes from River of Life World Changing Outreach Church in Roseburg, Oregon. And we had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go out with Pastor Sherelle, and she preached at their church. And we had the opportunity to meet this man of God, and we just shared with them. But I want to tell you a little bit about Elder Jim. He actually lived in Wilburn. He was born in Roseburg, and he grew up in the Sutherland area. He moved to Hawaii in 1980, and he says God got a hold of him there. Hallelujah. God is everywhere, y'all. He got saved in 1981 at Assembly of God Church in a small town called Hawaiki. He lived in Hawaii for 20 years, moved back to Oregon in 2000. Amen. He says he wasn't serving Jesus at the time, but he woke up one morning in January. Come on, somebody. In 2003, Elder said that he was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he committed his life to the Lord. Isn't God good? So he is the husband, his wife, Pam. They were married in 2004, where they serve with their pastor there in Roseburg. Elder Fikes is with us tonight, and he is going to be bringing forth the word. After we pray, the next voice you will hear will be that of our speaker, Elder Jim Fikes. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we humbly come before you this evening, oh God, with our hands lifted up and our mouths filled with praise. Father, we come tonight, Lord God, with a sincere gratitude for what you've done for us and who you are. God, tonight we heard the song that says, you are I am, and you are the deliverer, you are the healer, you are the way maker, you are the provider, you are the burden bearer, you are the mind regulator, you are joy, you are hope, you are peace. Father God, you are all in all, and we lift you up, we exalt you, and we magnify your name. Father, we love you tonight, and we appreciate you. We thank you, oh God, for this day, Father, giving us the opportunity to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and come into your courts with praise. Father, we thank you that we are in our homes safe, warm, Father God, realizing that we have brothers and sisters that are out on the street calling a cardboard box home, calling under a bridge home, calling a tent home. God, we're blessed tonight. And Father, we ask that you bless our brothers and sisters that are out there homeless tonight on the street. Cover them with your blood, God. Protect them. Keep them, Father. God, just build a fence all around about them, oh God. Let them know that you love them, Father. And let them know you will never leave them nor forsake them. God, tonight I pray for every listener that's on this line tonight, everyone that called in to the Light of Portland broadcast tonight, I pray the prayer of faith over their life. I pray that every situation they have, it be fixed. It be fixed in Jesus' name. I pray that every problem that they have be fixed in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that every issue and infirmity in their body be healed in Jesus' name. Father, you said where two or three gathered together in your name, touching and agreeing, you would be in the midst. God, heal, save, and deliver. Set your people free tonight, Lord. God, tonight we pray for the man of God that's coming before us to break open the word of God. Father, we say, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. God, I pray now for Elder Jim. I ask, Father God, that you would touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Father, I pray that you would stir up your spirit in him right now, oh God. Let your word come from his belly like rivers of living water. Saturate him right now, Father, with your anointing. As your word comes from the man of God, Father, and it comes through the airway, oh God, let it save, let it heal, let it deliver, let it accomplish what it was purposed to do this night, oh God. And Father, we thank you for the man of God. We thank you for his pastor. We thank you for the work that you've assigned his hands to. Bless, Father, Elder Jim tonight. Bless his family, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor, oh God. And Father, we need a word tonight. So we say, speak, oh God. Speak through Elder Jim tonight. Let your word come forth, oh God, to transform our hearts and our minds, that we may not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God.
Thank you.
And amen. Elder Jim, thank you're on the line tonight. Welcome to the Light of Portland.
Praise God. I just thank you, Pastor Kimberly Black, and thank you, Pastor Sherelle, for this opportunity to bring forth the word. And my voice is a little scratchy, so bear with me. But I just thank you for the opportunity to share God's word. And, man, I tell you, we're having church tonight, man. Praise God. I'm going to speak on a subject that God's laid on my heart, and it's a subject that, sadly, we don't hear in church too much. Just at least the first part I'm going to be preaching about is hell real? You know, that's, we don't hear about hell much in church anymore. And, you know, yes, hell is real, and it's a literal place. The word hell is mentioned over 50 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And 15 times Jesus mentioned hell in the Gospels. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 24. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell, speaking of the rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, and this is a story that Jesus is telling. It's not a parable. It's, I believe, an event that really happened. But, you know, hell is real. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, the second death spoken in verse 14 is eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. And that's, you know, that's a place we don't want to be, you know. Years ago, I read a book. It's by Dr. Richard Ebbe, and it's called Caught Up into Paradise. And it's his own account of his experience in heaven after he was fatally injured in an accident at his house. I believe he fell off some steps and hit his head and cracked his skull. It tells of his wonders time in paradise. He was a born-again man, and as well as his wife. And she prayed, and he was sent back to finish his work here on earth. But a while later, I think it was a couple weeks later, I believe, if I remember right reading the book, God allowed him to experience hell, whether in a dream or vision, I don't remember. But he recalled of the horrid stench, total darkness, and horrifying creatures that were ripping at his flesh. He was in constant torment. And the worst part of it, he said, was the separation from God. That was the worst part. And then God rescued him out of this either vision or dream he was having. But he was pretty traumatized by it, you know, and rightly so. But the greatest news of all is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that's the good news. You know, there is hell, but there is heaven, and Jesus provided a way that we can go there. You know, God sent his only Son that we'd have eternal life. God never intended for man to go to hell, to be in hell. He made that for Satan and the fallen angels. But Satan's trying to take everybody with him that he can. You know, so, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it says right there, you know, God doesn't want anyone to die. You know, a lot of people say, well, God did this and God did that. No, God doesn't want anybody to die and to go to hell. But we have a free, you know, we have a free will. And, you know, we make choices and sometimes we suffer from them choices. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, so God has made a way. He doesn't want it that anybody should perish or go to hell. But, you know, I've said all that to say this, and, you know, believe me, I'm preaching at myself and just right back at myself. You know, we as Christians, we get complacent, you know, that people around us, you know, they're living and dying without Jesus. You know, and I think if we, you know, thought about hell a little bit more, what these people are facing, I think we'd reach out to them a little bit more. I think we'd be a little more compassionate, you know, and we'd take the time to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and obey what the Holy Spirit's telling us, you know, if we need to talk to somebody or pray for them or whatever it is, you know. We all have friends and family that don't know Jesus. You know, and just a couple of weeks ago, I had a dear friend of mine. He lost his 24-year-old son in a head-on car crash. You know, and it's doubly sad because the son didn't know the Lord, and his dad and mom that are going through this heartache, they're going through it without knowing Jesus. You know, and that's just, I can't imagine that. You know, but the worst part is that the son is gone. And, you know, he didn't know the Lord, you know, and he didn't know Jesus. You know, I used to work in the woods. I used to be a logger years back. And, you know, I had friends that got killed in the woods. And, you know, we were just young back then. And, you know, it is sad because, you know, they didn't know the Lord. And, you know, you just, you know, one of them was my cousin. You know, you just kind of, you just wrestle with that, especially. You know, I was a Christian at the time when my cousin got killed, and I was in Hawaii, but he was here, and you know, it's just awful. You sit there and think about, you know what they were going through, but, you know, and I really didn't have a chance to minister to him, you know, while he was still alive, because I was in Hawaii. But, you know, there's people dying around us every day that don't know the Lord, you know, but what a comfort it is when we do know the Lord and we know that they do know the Lord. My mom, she was 80, well, she's 80 years old. She finally accepted the Lord. And, you know, mom was a good person. She, you know, was just, she's my mom. Of course, I'm a little biased on that opinion, but she didn't drink or smoke or anything. She didn't swear, you know, she was just so easygoing, but she didn't know the Lord. And, yeah, I think maybe she might have gone to Sunday school when she was a little girl, possibly, but we never talked about it or anything. But she was about, I think, 79 years old, somewhere around there. And she was in the hospital. She was in the ICU. And my wife and I went in and saw her the day after. And she goes, you know, I was talking to her. I said, Mom, I want to know, you know, if something happens to you. I want to make sure you go to heaven. And she goes, you know, she said, the Lord told me not to tell anybody, but she had this dream or vision. She said, you know, she said, just like her and I talking, she was talking to the Lord. And he told her that she would outlive her husband by 2 years and stuff. And so Pam and I asked her, well, Mom, are you ready, you know, to accept the Lord? And she goes, not now. I don't know what she was waiting for, but she goes, not now. And so about a year later, she was in the hospital again. Her heart was having her problems. And so she came out of ICU and she was in recovery. And Pam and I, you know, I talked to her again. And she goes, yeah. She said, I had a long talk with the Lord last night. And you know, she was ready to accept the Lord at that time. So she did. You know, we led her in the sinner's prayer. Well, I don't know, a few months later, she was in the hospital. They found her unresponsive in the care home, and she was on her way out, and she wasn't able to talk, or she wasn't conscious or anything to us. And about 5 minutes before she passed away, her eyes opened up, and she tried to say something, and Pam was like, I think she was going, oh my, because she was looking at the corner of the room. And I don't know what she saw, if she saw the angels come to get her or what, but, you know, and then she just started slowly breathing slowed down, and she passed away. But I was like, man, I wish I could have seen what she was seeing, you know, who was coming to get her. But, you know, that's a blessed hope. You know, we have that hope because I know I'm going to see her again. My brother passed away this year, cancer. He was saved. And I know I'm going to see him again. You know, we miss him dearly, but we know we're going to see him again, you know. And so there's people around us, you know, we're doing them a great injustice to those who are lost by not telling them about Jesus. They're not even inviting them to the church, you know, where they can hear the gospel, you know. And we get, like me, you know, I get bashful, or, you know, it's like you're afraid they're going to reject you. You get afraid of rejection, or, you know, I think, oh, gosh, they're not going to like me, or they, you know, think I'm a Bible thumper or something like that. But, you know, we're dealing with eternity here, you know, and I need to really step up to the plate and do more also, you know. But you can live your life where they, you know, they can see Jesus in you too. But, you know, we need to tell them, you know. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, how are they going to know that there is a Savior if we don't tell them there's a Savior? You know, and you know, the world today, you know, they're trying to push Jesus and God out of everything, you know, in this country. And so even more so, you know, when we were kids, you know, we went to Sunday school, vacation, Bible school and stuff. And, you know, the seed that I heard when I was a little kid there was planted. And, you know, of course I, you know, went pretty rowdy there for a while, and then until my early 20s when I finally got saved. But, you know, I went through all the, you know, the drugs and the drinking and all that. You know, but still that seed was planted in me, you know, and I remember that. But, you know, God has a specific purpose for each and every one of us. You know, God knew us when we were yet being formed in our mother's womb. And he has a purpose for everybody, you know. If everybody would just realize that, you know, and just seek God for his purpose for their life. You know, we're all part of the body of Christ, those of us saved. And we all have a part to do. You know, there's no part too small. You know, God's not a respecter of person. You know, and those that aren't saved, just imagine some of the gifts that God has created them for, some of the good works, you know. You know, we might be the person who tells the next Billy Graham or the next Oral Roberts or the next Reinhard Bonnke about Jesus, you know. We might be that person. You know, and look at what these mighty men of God did for the kingdom of God and for this world, you know. So, you know, if we just yield to the Holy Spirit and we open our mouth, we don't have to worry about what we're going to say, because it says in the Word of God that He's going to give us the words to say, you know. And I remember one time in Hawaii, we were coming back from this, had a really, real good meeting down to South Kona Assembly of God down there. And we were coming back, and I see this guy sitting by the post office down there. It's pretty dark. Well, we pulled in there, and the guy was pretty strung out on drugs. He was on, I think, LSD or something, he told us. But, you know, we still ministered to him and just, you know, showed the love of God to him, you know. And I often wonder, you know, whatever became of that, you know, and I'll find out in glory, you know. But, you know, we're just doing things. We're laying up treasures in heaven is what we're doing. You know, we're not doing it for self-glorification. We're doing it that God would be glorified. But every time we do it, you know, we're laying up treasures in heaven where rust and moths can't get at it and eat it away. You know, it's eternal treasures that we're laying up, you know. But most important of all, you know, no matter if this person's going to be a great man or woman of God, is that we're introducing them to the one who loves them the most, and that's Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior. You know, that's what's really important. That's the best thing of all, you know. And I want to look at here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. And this is talking, you know, what God does to us, you know. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And I love all them verses, but, you know, verse 10 really spoke to me. You know, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, God has created us to make a change in this world, to make a change in people's lives, you know. And we need to, as the church, as believers, you know, we need to get outside of our doors, you know. And Pastor Kimberly was praying for the homeless and stuff, you know. There's a lot of people out there hurting. And court, you know, some of them have made bad choices, but, you know, who are we to judge? We just got to show them God's love. We got to reach out to them. I can't imagine living in a cardboard box or a tent or under a bridge, you know, just no place to go, cold and hungry all the time. And, you know, and then, you know, with battling the demons of addiction or whatever, you know. But, you know, God loves them just as much as he loves you and me. And God wants, you know, them to be helped, you know. And so we just gotta be diligent, and just, we gotta think of, you know, people aren't just going to sleep when they die, you know, around us. You know, there's either they're going to be in heaven or they're going to be in hell. They're going to be eternal life or eternal torment, you know. And that's where the pavement's on the road right there. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road, because that's what it is. You know, and not sugarcoating it any, but we need to just have compassion on those people. We need to realize that, you know, it might be the last time they ever hear of Jesus, and so we need to be busy about that. You know, and I'm, like I say, I'm preaching to myself, you know, also, but that's what God laid on my heart, and yes, that's the end of it, Pastor Kimberly. So thank you for the time, and God bless you, everybody that's hearing this within the sound of my voice. And the main thing is, Jesus loves you. No matter where you are, who you are, Jesus loves you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Jim, for that word on tonight. So inspiring to know that if we have called upon the name of the Lord and we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that we are saved, and we are saved from this place that's real called hell, a place of eternal damnation. My grandmother used to say fire and brimstone, and the heat never turns off at that place. And so we thank God for you tonight. We thank God for the word on tonight. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being a part of the Blog Talk to the Light of Portland family. We pray that you all in Roseburg will continue to listen every Sunday night at 8 p.m. We are here. Give our love to the River of Life family. Let them know that we love them. We pray for them constantly. And we just thank you again for sharing your word, that word with us on tonight. We have been made better knowing that our lives have been spared from this place that is real called hell. Thank you so much, Elder Jim. Amen. Amen. God bless you too. So thank you, everyone, for calling in tonight. He quoted a scripture in 2 Peter. It says that God is not slack concerning his promise, that if anyone wants to be saved, they can be. If you are on the radio call tonight, maybe you didn't call in. Maybe you're sitting at your mom's house or your sister's house, or you're sitting at your cousin's house, and they're listening tonight, and you just so happen to be ear hustling. You're ear hustling the right thing tonight, and you're saying to yourself, "Man, I'm afraid that if God was to call my name tonight, then I would go to hell. I would be at this place of eternal damnation." I hope that you will reach out to that family member or to that friend, and don't be ashamed, because it's just you and them, and tell them, "Hey, look, I'm not sure of my salvation tonight. And if God was to call me home, I don't know if I would spend eternity with him or I would be going to hell." I pray tonight that if you are in the midst and you're hearing this conversation tonight and you are not saved, I pray that you would reach out to your family member right now. Don't wait. You can email me, but don't wait for my response. Don't wait. Do it now while the blood is running warm in your veins, while you have the activities of your limb, while you are closed in your right mind. Do it now. Do it today. Salvation is free. It's for everyone. And before we end this call tonight, I just want to pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of faith, because even maybe somebody on the call called in and they're not sure tonight if they're going to go. And I'm going to ask Elder Jim if he would pray. Maybe tonight you're on the call and you say, "I'm not saved." Elder, will you please pray the prayer of faith for our listeners tonight? Pray that with us tonight.
Yes. Jesus says in the Word, "Whoever calls on my name shall be saved." You know, what we got to do is we got to come to the realization that we are a sinner and that we need a Savior. So right now, anybody that wants to just repeat after me, it's as simple as a prayer. I mean, God made it so simple. We just ask Him. We believe, ask Him in our hearts. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. I admit
name.
That I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ was died for me on the cross and was raised from the dead for my sin for eternal life. I accept the finished work of the cross. And I just thank you. I just ask you into my heart to be the Lord, my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you Amen. Prayer, thank you.
Your name is written Amen. In the Lamb's Book of Life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the saints rejoice over the one soul So hallelujah. Yeah. Angels are rejoicing over the one soul. Hallelujah. Thank God and amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for calling in tonight to the Light of Portland broadcast. I've been your host, Pastor Kimberly Black. Remember, next week I will announce the winner, two winners, to our trivia question. Let me give you the question again. The question is, whose doxology acknowledges that only God can turn the heart of the king? I said, whose doxology? So when you tell me who that person is that prayed that prayer, gave that hymn, that song, and when you get that answer, email me at GSSMBC. I'll announce the winners next Sunday. Elder Alonzo Chadwick will be on the line with us. He will have four tickets to give away to our winners. So I pray tonight that you have been blessed by the word of God tonight. I pray that because you spent this hour with us, you have been made stronger, wiser, and you have a heart's desire to seek after the Lord. I pray tonight that something has been said to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to help you go throughout your week. I pray tonight that something has been said that has eased the burden, that has given you an answer, given you confirmation, given you clarity, given you understanding. I pray tonight that you have been blessed by Elder Jim Fikes and the Light of Portland broadcast. Thank you for calling in, and until next week, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us, hence, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, I love you all, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed and have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday night at 8. Tell somebody about the Light of Portland broadcast. Be blessed.